Welcome to Today on Broadway for Thursday, October 20th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini. James had a drama desk meeting on Wednesday night, and I had to sit alone in the dark, cross-legged with candles and incense to get myself mentally prepared for the third and final presidential debate, so I'm going to take this one solo. On to the news. As had been widely assumed and pretty much confirmed via social media for months, yesterday the producers of the Broadway-bound musical Groundhog Day confirmed that, in fact, Tony nominee Andy Caro will be reprising the role of Phil Connors in the Broadway production, a role which he originally played in the incredibly well-received Old Vic production in London over the summer. That's really the only news that the producers gave us yesterday. They say additional Broadway casting will be announced shortly. However, we do know that performances will begin on Thursday, March 16th at Broadway's August Wilson Theater, and the opening, as previously announced, will happen on Monday, April 17th. The only other real bit of news is that tickets are now on sale. American Express card members can get advance access to tickets beginning yesterday, and general on sale begins on November 2nd at 2 p.m. This musical adaptation of the iconic Bill Murray and Andy McDowell movie features music and lyrics by Tim Minchin, a book by Danny Rubin, and is directed by Matthew Warchus. Now, most Broadway prognosticators predict that Groundhog Day is going to be a huge success. Will it rise to the level of Hamilton's success? Probably not, but it might get close. But let's go ahead and talk about Hamilton. Yesterday, it was announced that actor and recording artist Jordan Fisher will make his Broadway debut in Hamilton when he begins performances as John Lawrence and Philip Hamilton on Tuesday, November 22nd. An actor making his Broadway debut in a, you know, kind of small featured role normally wouldn't get a whole lot of coverage, but Jordan Fisher is incredibly well known to a, let's just say, younger generation. He starred in the Teen Beach Movie franchise on the Disney Channel, on the Disney Channel show Liv and Maddie, and on The Secret Life of the American Teenager. But for those of us in the theater world, we know him as Duty from the Emmy-winning production of Grease Live, directed by, probably not coincidentally, Hamilton director Tommy Cale. His self-titled debut EP dropped in August. Dropped means release in the record industry, it's what all the cool kids are saying, and his first full-length album will be coming out in early 2017. Fisher will of course be taking over from original cast member Anthony Ramos, who will be filming a lead role in Spike Lee's new Netflix series, She's Gotta Have It. Congratulations to Fisher, and hopefully this is the first of many Broadway appearances. In his column on Tuesday, the New York Post's Michael Riedel gets into some details about a fairly silly but very serious battle going on behind the scenes at Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812. Riedel writes that threats of lawsuits and expulsions from the theater are coming down to billing. As Riedel says, don't laugh, billing on Broadway is as important as holding territory on the Russian front. Here's what's behind it. As you probably know, Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812 began its life in 2012 at Ars Nova, a nonprofit theater off Broadway, which produces projects from up-and-coming talent. After the great success at Ars Nova, an Ars Nova board member named Howard Kagan, who is a former hedge fund manager, picked up the option on the show and produced it off-Broadway and then developed it for Broadway. In the contract in which Kagan acquired the rights to produce further productions of The Great Comet, it stipulated that all productions be billed as, quote, the Ars Nova production of Natasha Pierre and The Great Comet of 1812, and so on. But when Ars Nova got a look at the Playbill title page for the show, which began previews on Tuesday night, that, quote, production of was missing, and Ars Nova was included with the other three dozen above the title producers. Jason Egan, Ars Nova's artistic director, released the following statement. Ars Nova is deeply disappointed that our own board member, Howard Kagan, is attempting to minimize the contribution that Ars Nova has made to Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812 by denying us the proper billing credit we have earned and of which we are contractually entitled. Apparently, lawsuits are being suggested and hurled about, and in a particularly petty move, Kagan is threatening to sabotage Ars Nova's December 5th benefit gala by scheduling the cast album recording for that day, meaning that, since these things often take all day, no cast members, many of which who have been with the production since the Ars Nova days, would be able to attend the benefit. Apparently, cast members and crew are deeply upset by the feud. One of Riedel's sources says, quote, "They want to be at the benefit. There wouldn't be a show without Ars Nova." Of course, Kagan, through a spokesperson, is blaming Ars Nova for escalating a dispute about wording into an all-out war. According to Riedel's sources, many people on both sides are hoping that Josh Groban, who of course is starring in the production and is by far the biggest name associated with Great Comet, will step in and put his foot down, demand that the recording session be scheduled for another date, and try to get both sides back on common ground. From all reports, Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812 is a phenomenal show that deserves credit, but its success on Broadway has always been in question, even with a star like Groban above the title. Will this animosity bleed over into the product? I hope not, but it surely can't be helping getting the production ready for Broadway audiences. Here's hoping that everybody involved can end this amicably and get back to creating life-changing theater. According to Variety, the stars just keep getting attached to the Mary Poppins sequel, Mary Poppins Returns. Obviously, we already know that Emily Blunt will be playing the titular nanny. We also know that Hamilton's Lin-Manuel Miranda will be playing a lamplighter named Jack, who is effectively the Bert character from the previous movie. We also know that Meryl Streep is in talks to join the cast as Mary Poppins' cousin, Topsy Poppins. Great name. But now apparently Colin Firth is in talks with Disney to play the role of the president of the Fidelity Fiduciary Bank, William Wetherall Wilkins. WWW. Of course, there have been rumors bandied about recently of Colin Firth potentially making his Broadway debut in a revival of My Fair Lady. Could Emily Blunt potentially be his Eliza? Who knows? Rob Marshall, as he pretty much does with every Disney movie musical, is scheduled to direct. The film is scheduled for a December 2018 release. Now, I'm going to end the show today with two videos that you have to watch. We'll have them embedded in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com. The first is from the brilliant minds behind the fantastic, much missed, much adored web series Submissions Only. That's, of course, Andrew Keenan Bolger and Kate Weatherhead. We saw them before do a short video trying to get Kate Weatherhead's character Penny to make sure that she not only is registered to vote, but actually goes out and votes for Hillary Clinton. In their newest video, they poke fun at Hillary Clinton's presidential opponent, Donald Trump, by having a number of Broadway stars come in for an audition for Trump on Broadway, the musical. The list of stars featured in the video include Danny Burstein, Colin Hanlon, one of the stars of Submissions Only, Jose Lana, Margot Siebert, Ariana DeBose, Christopher Fitzgerald, Adrian Warren, James Monroe Iglehart, and of course, my fave, Suya Keenan-Bolger. It's really, really funny. Go ahead and check that out in the show notes. I think you're going to like it. Finally, we hinted at this one yesterday, but the great Tony winner Laura Benanti did in fact make an appearance on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. She, of course, recreated her fantastic impression of Melania Trump. The segment was a send-up of Melania's recent interview with Anderson Cooper, in which she not only defended her husband against accusations of sexual abuse, but also pretty much blamed Billy Bush and anybody else. It's really, really funny. Benanti is a national treasure, and it's a shame that few people outside of the Broadway community really know and appreciate who she is. But if getting to play Donald Trump's wife for a few segments on The Late Show gets her exposed to wider audiences, it's a great thing. And as I kind of predicted, since Benanti is quite a ways along in her pregnancy, they did shoot her sitting down and pretty much from the chest up to kind of hide her baby bump. So we'll have that video in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com as well, so check that out. All right, thanks so much for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt, and subscribe to Something Like It Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. As far as I know, James will be back to finish out the week, so we'll talk to you tomorrow.